Don't know who wrote this next introduction, but I think it's a striking example of ultimate sportsmanship. On a Saturday in November, two high school football teams with their quarterfinal playoff games 100 miles apart. The next morning, during church, a tornado strikes one of the towns. It levels a coach's home, a quarterback's home, other players' homes, and many residences and businesses. On Sunday, the coach in Springfield hears about the devastation and calls the coach in Washington and says, "Coach, what do you need?" The coach in Washington, in the process of regrouping with his players and coaches, tells him, "Coach, it's bad. I'll have to let you know." The coach in Springfield gathers his players and coaches, and everyone wants to help. On Monday, he calls his players' parents, and everyone wants to help. The coach in Washington says, "We need help with transportation." The assistant principal in Springfield secures 6 buses for players and fans. The coach in Washington says, "We are under a boil order. We need water." Late Monday evening, the Sacred Heart Griffin community gets the word out that water is needed. 3 trucks are offered. All day Tuesday and Wednesday, moms in minivans drop off cases of water. People on their way to work swing by with water. Businesses deliver pallets of water. By Thursday, a semi-truckload of water is available to send to Washington, and a coach-turned-truck driver is sent to Washington with water. The coach in Washington talks to the coach in Springfield again. "Coach, we have plenty of water. What we really need now is money." The coach lets the community know. The assistant principal gets the word out. The local media gets the word out. The people begin to donate. They call the radio station. They call the school. They drop checks off in the school office. They drop them in the mail. They send them with their students. The coach in Springfield is preparing his team for the big game. The coach in Washington is trying to balance his players' desires to help their neighbors with the game approaching. The parents of the Sacred Heart Griffin players want to help. The senior football moms learn of the Washington team's pregame traditions. One ritual involves peanut butter, jelly, bread, and Gatorade, and tables and chairs for 100. They go to the store. The football moms understand that the fans from Washington will have difficulty gathering for post-game tribute to their team. They plan a meal. How many will they feed? The coach in Washington says, "I'm not sure, maybe 1,000, maybe more." They call some friends. They call some businesses. Friends called them. Strangers called them. Businesses called. By Thursday night, they receive 1,000 sandwiches, lasagna and salad for 500, 1,500 bags of chips, barbecue for 500, 1,000 cookies, coleslaw for 800, chips and queso for 300, coffee and hot chocolate for the masses, paper products and containers for over 1,500 were donated by Friday at noon. The swim coach called. On game day at 7 a.m., 10 swimmers, 3 dads, and 3 coaches set up tables and chairs for 1,000. The baseball coach called. He said that they would clean up. A football mom called. Who is going to organize the volunteers? She showed up with her iPad and clipboard, and over 100 volunteers were organized. A football mom called. Who is going to run the kitchen and prepare the food during the game? She showed up with her apron and her hot pads and supervised serving food for 1,000. Who is going to serve all these people? And then they all called. They called the moms in charge. They called the school. They called the coach. They emailed. They texted. They showed up. They picked the food up. They bussed the tables. They served the food. They stood there and waited to see what was needed, and they did it. They checked to make sure there was toilet paper in the bathroom and garbage cans for the trash. Who were they? No one knows for sure. They were parents and students and alumni. They were Bible study groups from area churches. They were grade school students. They were football fans and church ladies who baked. They offered prayers and hands and help. Everything from frozen hamburgers, meat, to homemade pasta, to anything we needed. If you were there, you are certain that no one in particular was in charge. No one individual or even group of individuals planned this response. If you were there, you saw a public school principal present a Catholic school president with a handmade quilt of thanks, handmade in less than a week at a school in a town devastated by a tornado. Will Daryl Crouch and Ken Leonard please come forward?
Well, on our press box, we've got a saying. Again, we're Catholic school, Christian school. And it says, our goal is to be champions. Our purpose is to be Christ-like. The Lord give us an opportunity to live that out. And I'm just thankful that I live in the community I do, with the people I live with the players I have, with the parents and everybody else, that we could live that out for just one short day. These people were in trouble, and we came to their aid. Not for anything other than Jesus Christ. We also have a motto. At the end of every game, we give all praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I would like to thank you guys' organization for honoring us, the McCaskey family. The whole Bears group has been unbelievable to our kids as well. Sacred Heart Community, I cannot say enough about, and I've known Kenny for a long time. We're from the same area of the state, probably 25 minutes apart where we grew up. My student taught at his high school after he was gone. I'm just very blessed in the job that I get to do, being a high school coach and being a teacher. I'd like to introduce some of the guys I do have with me. Our captains, Kane Brogan Brownfield, would you stand up? Casey Danley, Christopher Friend, and Mason Shockley. I have my assistant coach, Mark O'Neill. And if my wife, Kathleen, would stand up as well. And again, I can't thank everyone that's in this room enough, and the things that, you know, Kenny and his group went out to do for us, treating us like they were their brothers and sisters and looking out for us in a hard time. I can't talk enough about just my town and the resiliency. Never been through anything of that, you know, caliber of walking through the devastation in our town. And it's still a long way for us to go, but, you know, we talk about the importance of athletics and what we try to instill in our young men, and I would say they're not just great football players from both places, but there's some great individuals that are going to be great leaders when they come back to those communities. That we're very fortunate, the two of us, to get to work with young men like that and try to be an influence in them. Some of those young men sitting at that table, besides being some of our star players, they were the first guys out, came out of church service, went out with one of our assistant coaches and started digging people out. So again, that response that you want to have of, will you rise back up when you get some adversity in your life, and you know, having that faith-based community that we're lucky that we live in. I mean, we're a public school, but we're a very faith-based community, which is part of the reason so many people were lucky within that storm coming through our town was right during church services. Most of them were in a place where they were safe to begin with, and some of those homes were empty, or people had been at church service and were now back. But again, I would just like to thank you all, and if you have a chance, come through our town. Those pictures, it's looking better than that now. It's still, like I said, very, very far to go. And again, I'd like to thank you all.